It's Friday.
Yes.
Kind of. It's not really. It's Sunday, and it's Sunday afternoon, and I'm in Pizza Express in Harburn in Birmingham, and I record this podcast each week. My name is Alan O'Donoghue. On Twitter, I'm Techno Teacher, T-E-K-N-O. And I try and bring guests into this podcast each week, and the podcast is all about GCSE computing. But this week, I've got a special guest. He's going to just tell you who he is and how you can get in touch with him if you want to.
Hello. So I'm Jack Weirden, or at Jack Weirdy on Twitter. I'm an 18-year-old computer science student currently at the University of Birmingham. And I've been doing computer science A-level, and I also did IT at GCSE.
But enough about Jack, because this is really about me, this podcast. It's not really. It's not about me. It's about what I've been doing with my GCSE computing class. And while I have a few classes, this is about the year 10 GCSE. So what I'm going to do in this particular episode, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I've been doing with them this week. And then I thought it'd be good to find out from Jack about what you studied when you were at school and what kind of things helped you think about studying computing science. And we had the York Raspberry Jam yesterday, and you weren't there, were you?
No, I missed the train.
Yeah. Oh no!
Got it.
So we were to talk about that. And then, actually, in this place next week, no, this week, it's the CAS conference. So we'll talk about that, the Computing at School conference. So you might hear noises of plates and glasses and bottles and cutlery, because we're in a restaurant at the moment. We're not really in a restaurant. We're just doing it for effect to make it sound like. And Jack keeps
to
doing.
Pretend we go outside.
That's right. And Jack's trying to make impression noises of blackbirds to make it sound like we're. So anyway, so this week I had two lessons with my GCSE computing class, and the first one on Monday, they've been doing this controlled assessment task where they do a programming assignment. It lasts about 20 hours. I'm not really allowed to help them, give them any guidance or feedback specifically, but I can talk to the whole class from time to time. And they've spent about 12 or 13 hours on this already, and it's a task. I can't go into a lot of detail about the task, but they're using Python to program stuff. It's like to do with the dice, and there's some random elements in there, and they have to sort of imagine if there was players in a game, and you set qualities for these players, like the number of energy points or something like that, and then there's like a battle then that happens in the game, and they have to program all this and try and solve it.
So do they get the overarching structure of a program and then have to build that up, or is it little details that they have to?
No, they're just basically given a specification that says task 1, task 2, task 3, and in task 1 it gives them, it says create something that does this, task 2 create something that does this, and each one builds up a little bit, and then they have to go through a process, which might mean they analyse it, then they do some early designing, which could be flowcharts or pseudocode. Then they start developing some coding. They have to then test the code to see if it works. So they have to set up a number of tests, like if I type this in, what happens? If I type erroneous data in, does it break it? How do I fix it? And that's kind of it. And at the end of it, they hand it in and I mark it. And I can't even tell them what score they've got. They just have to hope that they've done the best. So on Monday, really, they spent the whole lesson in silence doing that. Oh, our pizza has just arrived, so I'll just pause it for now.
Yeah, that one's me, I think, the margarita. Thank you.
And the calabrese.
Thank
you. Can I get you anything else, or you want okay?
So we were just interrupted a little bit by a couple of pizzas and some cake and ice cream and stuff, and now we're back on with the podcast. And the blackbird's back, I notice. Right on cue. So I was telling you about what I did in my Monday lesson. It was a controlled assessment, and they were doing this programming assignment. And we only had two lessons this week. And in the second lesson, I've been doing this stuff where I've actually stopped teaching the theory in the lessons. So I used to have a Monday morning lesson, and we'd do things like data representation. How do we store this? How do we store this thing and all that? But now I've stopped doing that because it just didn't feel right. For first thing on a Monday, they'd be sat there going, just like they're staring at me. So instead, what I've done is I've taken the whole curriculum and I've carved it up into little chunks, and I set these all as homeworks. And they've had six homeworks for the last half term, and then in Wednesday's lesson, it was a test. So I had 10 questions in the test. Now, Jack, you're doing computing science at the University of Birmingham. Let's try some of the questions on you.
So this could be embarrassing. Let's hope not.
Yeah. So now I have to read my own handwriting, first of all. So that could be even more embarrassing. So one of the questions was, question number five for 1 point. You ready?
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. So question number five. Name one function of an operating system. No, sorry, describe one function of an operating
describe
system.
Describe one function of an operating system. Where it's got to interact with the hardware.
Ooh, in what kind of way?
It's got to provide, let's go for the phrase, abstraction layer between the software and the hardware.
Ooh, now, this is for GCSE, so okay. They just have to know that the operating system manages the hardware, like the memory or something like that. So that, I would have given you 1 point for that.
Okay.
And question number six was, name a second function of an operating system.
Well, these questions are original.
So, come on.
For those on the podcast, Alan is miming.
Alan is miming a screen with little icons on it and a little thing that's moving around the screen environment.
So, I'm guessing you're going for managing the display.
Oh, a display or the user interface. I could have done a U and an I or a pointed to my eye. Or U, I, user.
I would have thought you'd gone crazy.
Thought I'd gone crazy. Anyway, so they had to do 10 questions just like that. Oh, here's another one. Describe one function of a firewall.
To prevent unauthorized access to the computer other systems.
Yeah, that will do. Or you could have said to limit access to certain websites outside or that sort of thing, yeah. So
sure. So
these are the kind of questions. So we then swap books. I go through the answers, then they mark each other's and I collect them in. I think we had one person in the class who got 10 out of 10. And then we had a lot of eights, a couple of sixes, but we'd had a holiday in between. So I was actually quite impressed, and I put all the scores into I have this spreadsheet online that you could look at if you want. It's tinyurl.com/10ACO1. Do you remember that?
Probably not.
But you can always listen to the podcast afterwards and you'll catch it. So that was the test, and that was on Wednesday. And then what I did, this is the bit of the lesson they loved the most. This was the, right, here are your homeworks for the next 6 weeks. So get your planners out, copy these down. So they've got homework topics like disk organization, maintenance, applications, the difference between open source and proprietary software, off-the-shelf, the difference between off-the-shelf software and custom-written. So like, why is custom-written sometimes better? Why is off-the-shelf sometimes better? In fact, would you be able to say why would off-the-shelf software be better for a company than custom-written?
Well, it's more likely to end up being cheaper, I guess, for the end user. You're not going to have to fork out wads of money for someone to come and consult and then spend time building it.
Yeah, and then you've got the support, long-term support issues, and if there's bugs and the software, somebody else is probably going to handle those for you, and then you don't have to go and sort them out. And plus the time, because if you're a business and you're waiting for 3 months for a software developer to create your custom written piece of software, that's 3 months that you're paying somebody and you can't actually use the product. So, but 3 months is probably a little bit longer than it would, or a bit too long. So that was my lesson and for Monday and Wednesday. Now, Jack, tell us a little bit about you. Why would you want to come and study a degree in computer science?
Well, I find computing interesting. It's one of the very few fields that kind of affects basically every area of our lives nowadays. And computing is one of these things that's starting to underpin most of how the world works. And I think it's important to understand how it works and to be able to sort of say, well, actually, no, we can probably start to improve this. And, you know, let's have glasses with cameras on them. And I think that's definitely more interesting.
That, it sounds like a question that you might have been asked or answered at your interview to come here to Birmingham. When did you decide? Was this just like 12 months ago or that you wanted to study computing science? Or?
Well, I've always found computers really interested in computing as a kind of subject. I was first introduced in year 7 in an extracurricular class. It was a games programming club. And from that point on, I just immediately fell in love with being able to, you know, get pictures of deer come up on the screen and you've got to chase after them and then Space Invaders and stuff like that. And building that from the bottom up as 12-year-old me, that was the best thing.
So this is about six years ago or so.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was at school, was it?
Yeah. It was an extracurricular class during secondary school.
Like on a Wednesday afternoon for an hour, or was it?
It was Thursdays or something after school for about an hour, and then and then there was occasionally like lunchtime type things.
And how did that come about? Did you say to the teacher, "Hey, Was it a male teacher, female teacher?
Yeah, it was a maths teacher who'd initially started it. And yeah, the club was already running when I joined. Kind of got involved with that. And then the IT department started getting involved, and then it just got bigger and everyone loved it.
And were there other people like yourself? You know, was it 3 or 4 people, or was there such a 30 that used to turn?
When it started out, there were quite a lot of people, but then it kind of started to fall down to the people who were really into it. And we had about 15 to 20 people, I guess, for the most part. And they weren't just year sevens, they were right through every year of the school.
But did you not just go along and just play games all the time? Or?
Well, generally, the games we played were the games that we'd made ourselves others had made. It wasn't completely messing around.
And it started from that, and then it's just... And I've met you at things like Barcamp Media City. Mm. You've supported some of our Hack to the Future events and Raspberry Jams, and you come to the Code Party that we're having in the summer as well.
Certainly am.
Yeah. So, it's about a year, really, since I've been back in touch with you, and last time I saw you, we're heading off to the university, to Birmingham. How did it meet your expectations? You know, we're a year on now. Did it live up to everything you expected, or has it been completely different?
Yeah, so I'd done A-level computing, and so I'd got the introduction to the field from there, certainly of more of a kind of formal way of looking at it. And it's kind of carried on linearly from there, and there are interesting modules about how computers work and data structures and algorithms and that kind of stuff. And I suppose it's really great the way that you get an environment of academics, of people who love computing.
So would you say it's like really exciting, you get a real buzz from it? Or
Yeah, I think so. It's a strange kind of buzz,
right?
Because I think until you've experienced it, it's really hard to describe, saying, oh, you know, I found an algorithm that's it's half the time complexity, yeah. It's brilliant. And you might get a funny look from someone who isn't a computer scientist.
And you're from the Manchester area. When you, like last year, when you were back in Manchester, and you were studying, because you studied at A-level, but it wasn't available at GCSE.
Yes, at the time.
What's different about coming away to university to study it than, say, doing it at A-level?
Well, I suppose the main thing is that you get a lot more time sort of dedicated to it. What basically was the A-level for me then is now the equivalent of one of quite a few modules that I'm sitting. And plus you get a much deeper look into a much broader field of computing.
And do you meet any of the other people in your course, or
Within the computer science department?
Well, it's because I know that when you came to MATLAB, because that's one of the places I met you first at MATLAB, you used to come to a lot of the events there. How, you know, are you meeting other people here, like as part of the network, students? And
Yeah, definitely. And there's quite a few groups down here. Certainly we've run a Raspberry Jam as well, which we try and get the community involved in, and that turned out really well. I hope to run another of those.
So you were supposed to come to the York Raspberry Jam yesterday.
I was.
Well, I'm a bit have you got a late note? Because it's now Sunday. Oh, I mean, Friday. and the Raspberry Jam... Oh, yeah, this doesn't really work.
Okay, I won't have made it tomorrow.
No, yeah. Yeah. So you were supposed to be at the Raspberry Jam. What happened in York?
Well, the train left without me, by which I mean I didn't get to the train in time.
Oh, no.
I was there in spirit, though, and certainly following along on Twitter.
And what had made you want to go? Because getting from Birmingham to York is not... really that easy adventure?
Yeah, well, I guess...
Even if you do get on the train on time.
Yeah, jogging is quite difficult. But I guess having seen other events, other Raspberry Jams, and certainly the big Raspberry Jamboree, kind of... Well, it amazed me, because quite a lot of jams, while they're big events, you meet the same social circle every time, and that's really nice, but you kind of lose sight of how big the whole Raspberry Pi thing is, and... York was really set to be a massive one.
Well, you really missed a good one.
I will have missed something.
No. So it happened yesterday, because this is actually really Sunday, it's not Friday. But we had about 200 people there and all, and what I really liked about it was, more than any event we've had before, there's a really diverse range of ages and backgrounds. So we had teachers, and we had some of the people from the university that were studying or teaching computing science, but we also had... mums and sons and dads and daughters, people that didn't work in this field but you know, wanted their children, and some of the children, they dragged their mums and dads along. Mm. And there was people who'd come from London. There was a man who'd flown over from Germany, and you just sort of slipped that into the conversation, like, yeah, but you're here on holiday. No, I've flown over yesterday. Except he didn't speak like this because he's German. Yeah, he didn't have an Irish accent, strangely enough. And it was great. We had 3 sessions on Minecraft, and one of the things I'm getting really excited about with Minecraft is, well, I've been teaching Python as part, or teaching how to program using Python. When we use the IDLE, the native interpreter that comes with the IDE, that comes with Python, I just find that it's a different experience from other things I've used, which I like. But one of the things about Minecraft is you can start off with the Minecraft environment where there's already things built there, but there's now an API for Python within Minecraft where you can go in and you can change aspects of it, like add more blocks, delete the blocks, make this block disappear if this thing happens. And while I've only just started dabbling into it, I can see that's going to actually have a big impact on the things that I'm teaching in class. We also had Amy, who was there again. She did her talk again, went down a storm, all about the Conway's Game of Life. And we had a dojo, a Scratch dojo, where we had families building amazing things together. So, we're in Birmingham today. Have you got anything lined up this week, computing wise, or?
Yes.
I'm pointing to something on my notepad.
Yes, there's this event that I'm going to on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, I'm going to an event on Friday as well.
It's not the Computing at School conference, is it?
What are the chances of that?
What a strange coincidence.
Yeah, because Computing at School, that's this great big free organisation that's free for teachers to join at no cost. They don't have to pay with it being free.
Is there a fee?
Yeah. And I don't mean free as in free speech, because there is free speech, but it's like more like free as in free beer. And we're having our conference, which you do actually have to pay to come to. But this year now, we've got about 4,500 people have joined Computing at School, and we've got a fair amount of them coming to Birmingham, which you probably know about, because you're a student here at the university. And there's all sorts of weird and wonderful workshops and activities. There's a particularly weird one, led by a certain Alan O'Donoghue, and it's going to be all about like a roller coaster ride into all the kind of things you can do in your classroom around computing science.
He sounds interesting. You should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm doing a plug for mine. you've got about another week here at the university before your first year is up. What happens next year on your course?
So at this point, the course kind of takes a more modular approach, and we get to choose a few extra modules that we're going to study, and I'm going to be doing computer security along with a couple of others, which is pretty sweet, because it means you're kind of, you know, if I'm not enjoying a module, it's my fault.
Right. You chose the wrong one. Yeah, you made the wrong choice, Jack.
No one's to blame but me.
Is it hard for you to see now, such a 2 or 3 years' time, do you see yourself working now in the IT sector, or have you considered things like teaching? Is that something you might think of?
Yeah, definitely. And I get it's really nice because, especially through going to lots of events like this conference, like Raspberry Jams and so on, I can really see the broad spectrum of what people are actually doing in computing. And it isn't just kind of taking what I'm being told by lecturers about, this is the technology that's used now. I'm seeing it for myself.
Is there anything that, when you've been... See, this is more for you. It's more than just what you study. I've read some of the things that you've tweeted and written about, and we spoke in the past. It seems to be quite a big hobby for you as well. Mm. And some of the events I've seen you at, there's been people from industry there. Do you ever find that people in academia or hackademia or whatever? do you ever find that they're maybe saying one thing and people in industry are talking about different things? Or?
I think so, but. I mean, I guess that's frustrating for people who might just be leaving university, moving into a whole technology they've never heard of, or people who are trying to employ graduates and they don't know what they want to know. I think computing is an almost schizophrenic field, because if you think of maths, when you hire a maths graduate, you know, maths hasn't really changed a significant amount.
Some mathematicians might take issue with that.
So adding has been pretty much consistent.
So 2 + 2 is always equal to 4.
Yes.
Yeah, and that might not change, but within computing, it could change.
And it's not just changing in terms of, there's lots of research being done, because certainly with maths, there are maths departments at universities coming up with all crazy hypotheses. But in computer science, we've got industry driving it forward, and at the same time, computer science. Yeah.
Whereas somebody might say at the moment, well, this is what memory looks like, and this is what memory does, but it might be that right now people are completely revolutionising the way that memory would be used in the future. And
definitely, and I think a brilliant example for right now might be hard drives. Well, you know, we've got used to saying hard drives is this thing that spins around. Now we've got solid state drives that
kind of do things, but I don't know how they work.
But even now we have computing devices that don't actually have any secondary storage at all. That it's all, you know, well, like iPads. Well, they do have some secondary storage.
There's no moving parts, though, really. Yeah. Unless you count electrons, but then that gets a bit complicated.
So do you think that there's other students on your course that might see teaching as an attractive career proposition? Or be honest.
Well...
Yeah, I know you're only in your first year.
From knowing a lot of the people on my course, I think they will, but they don't know it yet.
Right.
Because one of the brilliant things about computing is you get people of a real complete range.
Sure.
And there are people coming into the course who are just, they do things that I can't even imagine. And then there are people who are completely new and are like, I want to be in this field, but I don't know anything about it. And the very clever people, you know, some of them just go off and do their own thing. And then there are others who are trying to help and teach and get involved in extracurricular societies. And I think those are the people, you know, that aren't just enjoying the field. They love sharing their knowledge.
They're really passionate about the whole concept of the whole thing. Because one of the things that people have said, I've heard other teachers say this, that you get a lot of people who are very, very bright at computer science, and then the industry says, oh, right, we've got a shortage of, you know, good graduates. We'll have you. Thank you very much.
Mm.
And the whole education system is missing out because these really talented graduates that could be the ones that inspire and influence the computer scientists of the future, because they're going off to work in industry, they're missing out at the, you know, trying to benefit schools altogether.
Mm.
I suppose if you wave a big enough wedge of money in front of somebody, it doesn't really matter how passionate you are about something. At the end of the day, you know, it makes...
You get a nice house and a nice car.
Makes making choices a little bit easier if you've got all of that money in front of you. So I'm not going to ask you to make your mind up today. So this is our GCSE computing podcast that you've been listening to. You've been listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher on Twitter, TEKNO. And remind people who you are.
I'm Jack Weirden, a computer science student at University of Birmingham, and I'm at Jack Weirdy.
And weird is spelled
W-E-I-R-D-Y.
Oh, the normal way you would spell weird.
Yes, but my surname isn't spelled like that, so I confuse people.
That's weird.
Weird one.
So, thank you very much. This podcast, if you like it, you can download more episodes from iTunes. You can go to iTunes and type in Techno Teacher, TEKNO. And, oh, you won't know this, Jack, but we have this thing at the end of the podcast where we go, bye!
Okay, bye!